Listening to Glory 93.9 FM. It's officially Girl Talk time. And it's your girl, Marisha.
Joyne, I don't feel like singing today.
No? You don't feel like singing it today? Mm-mm. No?
Joyne, nevertheless.
The girls, you feel like singing it today. That's my business. I still can sing it. It's Marisha.
Joyne.
Y'all, welcome to Girl Talk. Listen, like and share it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. What y'all saying? How y'all doing? How you doing? It's a beautiful Thursday. I walked into the office in my outfit and a certain member of my one of my fellow colleagues started singing, I got sunshine on a cloudy day.
It's really cloudy outside, honestly. Yes.
So that's what I was going for. So it worked. Sunshine. I was looking for sunshine on a cloudy day. Those of you who are tuned in on radio and are listening to this podcast, you have no idea what I'm talking about.
But
I am dressed from head to toe in lime green.
It's okay.
And lime yellow because I can. And Joyne is here. Listen to me. Joyne is giving me hair envy, y'all.
It's
I ain't gonna lie.
Giving.
Your girl locking her hair, but
it's giving.
But this 30-inch situation she got on her. Look at these earrings. Look how you hiding them.
Sorry.
Show the people your earrings. They so fabulous. Mm. They from Mariana. Eh?
Yes, Mariana Renee Boutique. Please find me Facebook and Instagram.
This girl. She just always fabulous.
Likewise.
What y'all saying, ladies? How is y'all doing? I hope you're having an amazing Thursday so far. Before we dive into our topic today, I just want to say to you that, listen, we were talking about it, Joyne and I were talking about it before we started the show. Do you know that your outfit has the ability to change your day?
Outfit has power.
In fact, Joyne said that clothing is just as powerful as a woman.
Just as powerful as a woman. Ranking strong.
It could shift your whole.
It can shift an atmosphere. That is true, though.
Modo.
It is true.
Robo.
Mama.
Ikosha.
Mama. Handa.
Listen.
Honestly, it has the power.
No, for real.
I'm a strong believer of that.
Listen.
You don't feel good? Put on a good outfit.
Pull that closer to you.
Ooh, it's better.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, it has a good outfit, y'all. A good outfit has the ability to redeem, and we honor the Lord.
I'm feeling that.
Okay, y'all, we being silly, but real, y'all, share the show with all your friends. I told Joyne that she's going to be doing most of the talking today, because in the list of the three things that we're talking about today, being saved, married, and barren, I only one of them. I only save. I don't really know if I...
And I told her it's too early in the day for that.
I don't really know if I...
It's all right.
Could have turned or not, because I'm...
It's all right.
I'm married.
It's all right.
So...
Okay.
You got this. It's on you.
It's still on you.
You got this, buddy.
It's still on you. I don't know how she thinks like this goes, but it's still on you. It's all right. It's all right.
Oh, my goodness. So, just like last week, we want you guys to share your stories. We want to hear from you. And so... The call line is 828-242-828-3543. Again, 242-828-3543. And if you'd like to call in, the number is 242-82. Sorry, that was the call line. If you want to text or send a WhatsApp, the number is 242 828-2543. So to call in is 3543 and to text or WhatsApp is 3543. Y'all like message my phone. My phone is on do not personal number. In Jesus' name, I thank you for operating in the spirit of obedience.
See that? What that? I don't know. That's just how I see it in my head. It's all right. That's how I see it in my head.
Joe, what you saying? How you doing? You look beautiful, by the way.
Thank you. I'm doing well.
You're doing well.
I can't complain. The Lord has been kind.
God is indeed kind, isn't he?
Yes.
He's a kind God.
Feeling good.
He's a kind God. Ladies, how y'all doing? Who tuning in? Y'all coming in the room and y'all coming in hot.
I see Pastor on. I say, hey, Joe.
Hey, Pastor. Oh, welcome all the lovely people. Hello. Shante, Pastor Moss, Shaquinda, and Raquel, and Victoria. Hey.
Vicky, hello.
Everybody tuned in on Facebook. To those of you who are watching this on YouTube, hello. To those of you listening to our podcast, hey. And to those of you who are in your car, hey, Ruth. MUA. And those of you in your cars, thank you so much for choosing Glory 93.9 FM. Hey, Telsey. Okay. So,
this is a heavy one today.
This is a heavy topic today. And this is actually not the first time we've had this conversation here on Girl Talk, believe it or not. Mm. The last time we had this conversation, I had a guest, of course, on with me. Her name was Dr. Tamalia Gibson. Mm. She's the daughter of Bishop Hanchel from Great Commission. And she was sharing her story about how she got married. She was a virgin when she got married. She saved herself from marriage and had several miscarriages before God gave her miracle. Little man, and he really is a little man. He's so cute. He's so, like, just so adorable. And she just talked about the faithfulness of God, and also too, she shared about some of the health challenges that even she still is facing even now too, in reference to her own body. And it's been interesting. It was an interesting story. It was a powerful testimony. It was an eye opener for me though, because as a single woman, one of the things that I'm not always aware of is the reality of the struggle that we face as women, as married women, who are trying to do things right.
Right.
I cannot relate. I can only empathize. And my only connection to this topic for real is that, like, there has been a list of women that God has given me to pray for, that I've been praying for, married women who've been believing God for children. And for some strange reason, it's just a burden that God has given me. I can't even explain why. And out of the list of, let me see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Out of the 7 that I've been praying for, 4 of them have had children already.
Wow.
Yeah, 4 of them had children already. And so I've seen God work miracles. Wow. I lie. Sorry, it's 8. It's 8 of them that I'm praying for. And out of the 8, I've seen four of them have their children in hand now. Mm. They have their babies in hand. Babies are alive.
Any other pregnant?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Not that I know of.
Okay.
So yeah. God has definitely been working miracles in this aspect. But before we get to that place, before we get there, like I tell you this, I don't even know where to begin. Cause
well, let me start like how usually y'all, I have a story. I finally have a story to share.
Yes, she got a story.
Finally have a story. I ain't really too happy with the story, but still a story.
No, man, I'm happy. I'm happy about this story.
Okay, so my husband and I have been married for about 6 years. Mm-hmm. Jesus, I don't want to be wrong.
You need to be right. You need to be right. You need to know how long you've been married.
More than 1 year.
Daniel, come for joining.
Please come for your wife. So.
She don't know how long. What year did you get married, man?
What today is? I struggle with today's
date. Today is June
3rd, eh?
Second.
more than a year we've been married.
And more than 5 years.
More than 5 years, right? But see, a year I know for sure.
Right? It's more than 5 years, yeah, though.
More than 5 years for sure, too.
Yeah.
Right? And we're all, not the entire time we're trying to have children, but maybe after the fourth year.
Yeah, the third. You told me the third year.
Yeah, third year. And I'm not really good at telling stories, eh? Long story short, fast forward.
No, you got it. Have to be long and dramatic, like how mine.
No, I can't.
Like, you have to share the details.
So trying and trying and trying and trying.
Well,
a ton of times, and nothing seemed to work. And then I'm only talking from my experience, and everyone had their opinion. I think that was the most difficult part for me,
mm-hmm.
because you have those inconsiderate people who say things like, and you and your husband, y'all don't want no children, eh? Or you ain't have no baby yet? Or
wow.
In the Christian world, oh, I see a baby. And I think that would have been the most difficult part for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the people around you having babies.
That stinks. Okay.
And it's, and don't get me wrong, it's not that you're not excited. It's not that
you're not happy for them.
Mm-hmm. But it's just, it comes to the point like, God, okay, so when? I think the Bible says, and I want to quote it right, many are the children of the desolate.
Yes, of the barren woman, actually.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Than of the married woman. Mm-hmm. And that is so true. Because you would find even teenagers just getting pregnant. And they don't, they're not in covenant. This is not something that they planned.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
And that stings all the more too. So years went by. And
I want to cut you off though, because you said years went by and you kind of fast forwarded to the place where you wanted to have kids. But I want you to talk about the fact that you were intentional to prevent kids before, weren't you?
Oh, yes.
And do you think that that was a contributing factor?
That was a major contribution. I think because I was on a shot and I was on pills.
Okay.
So like
you were doubling up on.
No, not the two at the same time. It's like I did the like, shot.
Okay.
And then I stopped.
Right.
And then I started on the pills.
Okay.
So and then the doctors, they tell you like, okay, it's going to take maybe a year or two to get out of your system. But when you really think about getting it out of your system or.
Right.
Or. Punch a drug.
So
right?
That's interesting that you say that, because I hear doctors say that that it takes a while for birth control to get out of your system, because birth control is not only used to prevent pregnancy,
right.
It's also used to regulate your hormones and things like that.
Yes.
So I've had my experience with it, and I said no, I'm done, because it's supposed to be helping you, but at the end of the day, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure how beneficial it is or how healthy it is for us as women.
Healthy.
I'm still a little bit on the, what you call that? I just
on the fence.
Yeah, I'm on the fence about it, because I just don't know. I don't know how healthy it is for us as women. I know that everybody has their differing opinions, and I just want to make it very clear that I am not a medical professional, and neither is Joyne. So we're
Thank
just
you.
Talking about our experience
yes.
as women. And so I don't know how healthy it is. But I would imagine that there might. Okay, well, let me ask you this question. Was there any guilt that you experienced because you decided to prevent pregnancy in the earlier days of your marriage? And then
when it was time for me to have a child.
Right. Like when you started to actually make the effort to have a child, did you feel guilty about doing the birth control?
I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't. And I think I didn't, simply because of the place that I was in when I started.
Okay. Okay.
That it seemed more beneficial then.
Right.
Than it was in the end.
Right.
For me.
Right.
So I wouldn't say I felt guilty or anything about it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, my husband talked about it. Like, he was like, you know, we really should have just, you know, do
right.
something else.
Right.
You know, to make life a little bit easier. But I wouldn't say I regretted it all.
Okay.
Felt some kind of way.
Okay.
So fast forward. Okay. You tell me don't fast forward.
Mm-hmm.
So all this time, you know, dealing with the questions, dealing with persons, you know, prying, mm-hmm. but not mm-hmm. prying
mm-hmm.
when you're having this baby, you know, and I think after a while, my husband just is like, listen, we're having fun. Don't like, leave us alone. we having fun, and let's just be great.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear a lot of persons who have children be like, oh, you know, children is a burden, they slow you down and all this other stuff. So we was using things like that to say, listen, leave us alone, we having fun.
Right.
And after serving and serving all the more, it just, something just felt like it needed to be added, you know, like maybe I shouldn't compare it to clothes, but you know, when you're just missing a belt, like that would set this whole picture or this whole feeling.
So you're speaking of your marriage?
No,
you felt like
I wouldn't say that, but just like a part of life.
So like your family then?
Yeah, family.
You felt like your family was missing something.
We could have someone running around. We could have that little energy that I just tell him, Marisha, my husband, my son, feel like, you know, he's a big grown man. He's 5 months, but he's a big grown man and he runs our entire life. Not half of it, the entire life. And so I just fast forwarding because I have to fast forward.
No, backtrack.
Serve.
Mm-hmm.
And people mm-hmm. asking and, you know, the prophecies and,
How many prophecies did you get?
Honestly, it wasn't a lot.
It wasn't a lot.
It wasn't a lot. My pastor and one other pastor.
And that was when you was already pregnant, right? If no. I could remember.
Mm-mm.
So then it was three then, because you told me.
I'm talking about before the pregnant.
Okay.
Right. It was only one, my pastor and another pastor, and that's it.
And then what about when you were pregnant?
One. And my pastor.
Okay. Okay.
Literally it. And I think the silence is what really kills it too.
What do you mean?
Because it almost could seem like God is not saying anything about it.
Oh, you mean like silence from God?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's another avenue we can take a look at. But anyway, and we waited for a long time and finally I got pregnant. Oh man. Did I tell you yet? Yes, I had to tell you. I told you, right?
Yes, you did. The first time, yeah.
And listen, smiling from ear to ear, feeling myself, thinking, oh yes, I gotta get my prenatal vitamins. Oh, my earring dropped. Mm-hmm. And all these great things. And wait, and then you know, the first trimester, you want to keep it a secret. So,
right.
You know, everybody on eggshells and mm-hmm. while we in church, they're looking at me like, you good? You feel like you will vomit or, you know, something like that.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if that sounds superficial, but it felt good. Like,
right. Listen, it was something to get excited about.
I am carrying something
mm.
and he is concerned. Not only is he concerned, my sister concerned, my mommy concerned, everybody concerned, pastor right. concerned, everybody concerned. And I think we went to church. I found out that Friday I had to preach that Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I went to church that Sunday, told pastor, dead excited, all these other stuff. Told a few other persons, of course, and the last thing my mommy told me, she just called me Joe. Joe, wait. Don't tell no bunch of people. You don't know what could happen. And all these things she warned me about. And I told everybody and they grabbed me. And maybe about 2 weeks later, I miscarried. And that was devastating. And like I'm trying to formulate words to really express how I felt. But the kind of person I am, I'm very strong. So if you don't know I'm hurting, you won't know. Like, unless I really, really trust you and tell you, or God himself tell you. And I think that day, I was at work, and I was having these sharp pains. So I'm thinking, mind you, I had the pains from the night before, you know. But I was like, you know, online they say this is normal. You know, it shouldn't be anything to worry about. And then
right.
I went to work and I'm just sitting at the desk and it's intensifying like by the minute. Like I'll try like, my woman go, we're trying to shake it off.
Yeah.
Just so that we could get through the day.
Yeah.
And I went to the bathroom and I promise you I had a fit. I could say that. what really happened. A lot was going on.
Yeah.
And I went outside and I called my manager, and I'll never forget this because my manager at the time goes to my church.
Mm-hmm.
And I call him outside and I said, listen, I need you to call Daniel because, and everything else after that was just tears and me screaming in the parking lot because like, you know, that feeling like, you know, something is really wrong.
Right.
And because he never saw me break down so bad, he was stunned. Like he freeze. And I'm like, boy, I need help. Are you freezing?
Right.
And like, I tried to explain to him, like, this is what happened. This is what happened. This is what happened. I need you to call them now. Call my husband now. Mm-hmm. And he called Daniel. And I think I called Daniel. And I barely could get words out. And I was like, baby. Mm-hmm. And long story short, he came for me. And we went to the doctor. Now, this is where it got worse for me. Went to this doctor. Now, mind you, the time that I found that I was pregnant, I didn't go to the doctor yet. Like, you know, you wait a while and then you go and you make sure, etc. So this is my first doctor's appointment, technically.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I could say all this information on the radio. I went to this doctor who should remain unnamed. And he was terrible. Oh. He was terrible. He actually made light of, like, okay, well, whatever. It seems as if you miscarried. He did it like, well, you still could be pregnant or you could not, because I see this, but I don't see this. And we'll just have to wait a few days to really know this, that, and the next. And,
wow.
Right. And
wow, okay.
I'm going to look at it two ways. I think that he was being extremely inconsiderate and not professional. Or maybe his method was to keep cracking jokes to keep me happy. Either way, it didn't work. And
you think he was insensitive to what you were feeling or what you were going through?
Yes.
And what your husband would have been feeling or what he was going through at the time as well.
And then I think on top of that, you know, I'm brand new to this. So don't treat me as if I'm a veteran. He made it seem like, okay, we've been down this road before. I've been talking to you before, and I'm just gonna make light of your situation, and go home, and we'll see what happens. And I really stand to be corrected, but it's really
interesting.
And then to add to that, they never called. It was a hassle for me to get blood work. It was a hassle for me to just get any results.
So they never followed up with you or anything?
They never followed up. They never followed up. And I think my sister had to go. My mom actually recommended another doctor. And my sister had to go there and literally say, okay, I need her information because she's going to another doctor. Because at this time, we don't know, first of all, how far along I was, right? We're just guessing, counting it by the weeks,
right?
And then you ain't giving no information at all. You're not saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
So let me get all of the information from you. This my sister did. And wow. I went to another doctor.
Wow.
In all of this, I still was in pain.
Wow.
Yeah. So he didn't prescribe anything. He didn't say, okay, come back in 8 hours. I mean, you know, something.
Wow.
He didn't say any of that. And it was hard. Like, you know, some doctors, well, my doctor, Dr. DePuch, I could call him anytime. Any time of the day. And if he's busy, then he'll have someone say, okay, he's busy. He'll give you a call
back. Right.
But I couldn't even reach this doctor.
Okay.
I called the office 1,000 times trying to get answers. And it was... I think that I was in a place of, I can't believe this happened to me. I didn't think that I deserved it.
Interesting.
And especially because the topic today is save.
right,
married and barren. So God, I'm walking pretty upright. And I went through the method that you say I should. I'm in covenant with my husband.
Right.
And you could turn around and do this. Not only that. See, none of mine go, God, I did all of this.
So there should be a reward for what you've at least done. There should be a reward for obedience.
At least. You know, and
for doing things the right way.
For doing things the right way. Or even just trying to do things the right way.
Right.
And so finally, in the days went between this.
Mm-hmm.
Still in pain, still seeing the spotting, still seeing all of this stuff. And I promise you, I didn't want to go to the next doctor. I didn't want to know. You ever know that something is wrong? And
but you don't want to know what the truth is.
You don't want to know.
Yeah.
And I remember, I remember walking in my mom's room. And I don't know, I must just cry without words. Mm-hmm. And I lay across a bed and I scream. I scream my head off. And she, well, you know that mothering spirit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She literally said no words. She's like, okay, all right, baby, all right, all right, all right. Nothing else. Whole crying session. And then when I was, I guess, a little bit more calm, she said, but I need you to go to the doctor. Because you don't know
what's happening.
What's happening.
Right.
Fast forward, went to my doctor. And that was because of my bad experience. It caused me to put up a wall for anyone asking me any questions. Like, don't ask me nothing dumb because I'm already hurt. And the last place I went, they didn't treat me well, or at least how I think I should be treated.
Right.
And when, you know, they asked you, like, okay, so what are you here for today? Is there any way we can assist you? And I said, literally just like this, I think I miscarried. And the lady looked at me. She got a tissue immediately because I was already crying.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I'm so sorry.
Wow.
I promise you. And to this day, me and a lady have the best relationship ever. Best. Every time she sees me, hey, Gibson, you are stressing me out. And I'll never forget it. Her first line to me after I said that with the tissue, I'm sorry. And I want to just pause right there.
Mm-hmm.
For anyone who miscarried or is going through that situation right now, I am sorry.
Oh my gosh.
I am sorry that is you. I'm sorry that you feel this way. And in that whole appointment, when I met with Dr. DePuch, he said, listen, Gibson, it's nothing that you did. It is nothing that you could have done different.
Right.
To say, like, okay, maybe I walked too hard here, or I shouldn't have worn heels this time, or maybe I shouldn't have told everyone. And he said, it's nothing that you could have done. Sometimes this happens. And it happens, and this is what he said, and it happens to more women than you know. They just don't speak about it.
So in preparation for the show, I was doing some research, and of course, I've had quite a few women around me who have had miscarriages, and actually someone really close to me recently as well. And one of the things that her doctor explained, which I found interesting, was in the reference to this particular miscarriage that she had, that the body aborts the pregnancy when it detects that there's something wrong with the fetus.
Yes.
So the body,
that's exactly what he said.
The body kind of does it like a little scan of the fetus to say, okay, are the chromosomes laid out correctly? All of these things that would cause a healthy baby to properly develop. And I know that cannot make the miscarriage easier, but to the individual who I was speaking to, her response to me was that it was a painful comfort. That's the way that she described it. She said it was a painful comfort because she couldn't imagine bringing a child into this world that would have had a deficit or any kind of deficiency or any kind of handicap. Yes. She could not imagine having to deal with that. But on the flip side, she would have loved the child anyway.
Right.
And so for her, it was a painful comfort is the way that she described it, because she was grateful to God that the body decided to abort the pregnancy, but she was devastated that she lost her child.
Wow. But the thing with that is, in my instance, it was just, I want to be careful how I say this. I think I just had a bad experience with people. And when I say that, I mean, people said things like, oh, well, just lose some weight and you'll be able to have a baby. You'll be able to have a baby again. Or, oh, well, at least we know you could have a baby now.
No.
Or, you know, things like that. And I think that's what makes the journey, or made the journey at least all the more painful.
Wow.
Because it made me want to be quiet. You know, like, you know how, like, okay, we're friends. So I'll say, Mom, Marisha, this really bothering me, or this.
Right.
And then when you go to really expose yourself to someone that's not family, and then they say something, and I say dumb.
Yeah.
Something dumb. Mm-hmm. It forces me back. It forced me back to that closed.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk anymore. Mind you, I'm not going to have a attitude. I'm not going to have a problem. Right. I'm still going to do everything that you need me to do. If you need some help, I'm going to help you. But I'm just not going there. And that's what made it difficult. And I think even on Girl Talk, I think it's important to know your friends.
Yeah.
I think it's important to know if something, I'm this kind of person, if I know something is touchy for Marisha, I'm not going to touch it.
Absolutely.
Or if I do, it will be in such a strategic way that she knows that it's not coming from.
Because I was going to say, sometimes things are touchy and you need to touch it, but it's the way you touch it.
Yeah.
It's the way you touch it.
And I think that's what people lack.
Yeah.
And I won't even say just people close to me. Everyone lacks that. I don't know that. I guess who feels it knows it.
Yeah.
I will handle someone who miscarried different
because of what you went through.
Because I know.
I remember, I'll interject into your story here, because I remember, I just want to make everyone aware that through all of Joynay's miscarriages, we've been connected.
Yes.
So I actually knew she miscarried before she told me that she did. And so that was why I approached you the way that I approached you that day. When I was like, I know something's wrong.
Yeah, I remember that day.
I was like, I know something's wrong.
I remember.
And I said, I know you don't want to tell me what it is. And I said to you, whenever you're ready, I'm here.
I stink.
Yes, I stink. She was dead stink.
I was stink. I was stink bad. I said, you sure? You know something?
We ain't gonna do this today. Her favorite line: "We're not doing this today.
Today is not the day.
We're not gonna do this
today." I think I was doing vocals, and I said, you know something? What's the song? Come. Come, give me the song.
No, this is what you said. We doing the yacht thing today. Let's do that.
See, stink. Stink.
Dad stinks.
Stink. And
but it was crazy, though, because she still ended up breaking down crying towards the end of the lesson. Because
we had to be stink first. You can't break down and not be stink.
I was intentional with just inserting little things in between the little portions of the lesson, saying to her, now listen, like, this is a safe space. Like, you could tell me what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to repeat it. And then when she told me what happened, even though I knew it already, and this is so important, I didn't act like I didn't. I just didn't act like I did. Mm. I wasn't a know-it-all. Oh, I knew.
Yeah. Oh.
You understand?
That's bad.
You understand?
That's bad.
Like, I wasn't that person. I was like, oh my gosh, Joe, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. See, but at this point, when she is telling me sorry, I didn't deal with all the dumb people.
Right.
And I
remember that bubbling up that came out of you that day. Like, it was crazy. It was crazy. But I share that with Girl Talk today to say to the girlfriends of the friends who have miscarried, to know that you will be surprised the source of strength that you could be to your girlfriend in silence. No joke. because it's not like Joyne and I have had like a million conversations about the times that she has miscarried. It's just been like, no, I'm there for you.
Right.
Like, I got you. Would you need? Would you like, you good? Yeah. Okay. We could just sit here.
Sit in silence.
We don't have to talk. You don't have to cry. I don't have to cry. We don't have to hug. Nice. We don't have to touch. We could just sit here in this space and you could just be. If you feel like running around the room, if you feel like punching the wall, if you feel like doing backflips, if you feel like you have to let out some 4-pound words, four letter, heavy, like do whatever. Do whatever it is that you need to do in this moment. I think it's so important because not many women going through this situation are as fortunate as Joyne was to have so much loving family members around her. Some women are going through this by themselves on their own. Yes. In some cases, they can't even share the pain with the individual who impregnated them. And so I just want to say to us girlfriends out there, like, be your sister's keeper for real.
For real, for real.
Like, for real, for real. And try not to force the situation. Sorry, Joe, you could go ahead.
Yeah, I think, well, I remember that day very clearly, and I was nice in sync.
You were.
I was nice in sync because...
And I still love you.
I still love you, too. It's just, I was so hurt.
Yes.
And like I said, and maybe it's naive to think, but however, some things, as a believer, I feel like, come on, man, God. Do you really have to take this route? Like, I mean, I know you're perfect in all of your ways, but still, could you get my hopes up for something that you're going to take away? And enough, listen, ain't nothing like getting a plate of food and you go to the bathroom and you come back and someone eating it. That hope the entire time, the journey to the bathroom, the journey from the bathroom, you thinking about this food and... Just snatch. Just like that.
Wow.
That hurts. And I think that was the main thing for me. I think that the day I miscarried, I went to praise and practice. Like, okay, let's move on. Because this obviously ain't working out. And although the doctors say things like, you know, it's nothing that you could have done. The body does this and the body does that.
Mm-hmm.
In the back of your mind.
You feel and responsible. Jesus,
like, man, come on, you can't get this right. The normal thing that women that we're created to do.
The thing they were supposed to do.
You couldn't get that right.
Wow.
And
wow.
I promise you.
So it made you feel like less than a woman too.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
And thank God, I was able to talk to my husband about it. And like I just telling him, like, you know how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said something to me that really I didn't think about it that way. And he said, not only you lost something.
Oh.
And I was so focused on what my body went through. And you know,
it
feels like only you. And he said, listen, I was excited too.
Wow.
I was looking forward to this too, or you know. Wanting to hear the heartbeat or, you know, just the fact of knowing.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we have to take in consideration too for those persons who have their spouses and say, listen, okay, you went through this miscarriage. It's okay to talk. Going through the situation.
It seems necessary to talk.
You have to talk.
Mm.
I met a lady and she called me and she's like, you know, Joyne, I'm pregnant now. I'm like, oh yeah, excited, you know, excited. And then like a month or two later, something went wrong and she miscarried. And everything that I felt, I was able to navigate her through.
Oh, that's good.
All the thoughts, all the not wanting to eat, not wanting to sleep, not wanting to talk, not wanting to communicate, going into this shutdown mode. And I promise you, for months, it took, like I was on edge all the time. Now, mind you, fast forward, shortly after I miscarried, I got pregnant again. And
so let me push pause there. How was it even like being intimate with your husband again after you had miscarried? What was that like?
I was still on edge. Like,
right.
This may or may not work. Or
was it with the intent to get pregnant, or was it just like, no, baby, let's just come together because we need to come together?
Let's just come together, but at the
back, in the back of your mind, at the back like, of my mind, it's like, ooh, I wonder if this is going to be it. I wonder if
this is...
Yeah. Yeah.
Thoughts like that.
Yeah.
And got pregnant, and maybe until... And I won't. I can't even lie about this. Maybe until 7 months, I got relaxed. Those months, on edge every day, afraid that I'm gonna go to the doctor, and he's gonna say something like, "Oh, Miss Gibson," oh, or something, and I didn't like that. I didn't like that feeling. I felt like I was held hostage in my own mind, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was rough. Fast forward, I have a bouncing, beautiful baby boy. And I love him. I love him every bit. Every bit. And even in all of that, and we don't want to take away the power of God. God can do anything. And I know it sounds like something that you've heard before, but he truly can. And not because something is taken away means that
it's not for you.
Right. Or you did something for that to be taken away.
I want to go back to something that you said, though, because this was the part of the journey that I fought you on. And to this day, I feel like she's glad I fought her on it. But in some ways, I don't know, because she was talking to me bad. So I just want to help to prepare y'all, some of y'all.
I sound like a terrible person.
In this particular episode of Girl Talk, yes, absolutely you do.
Okay.
I was that friend to Joynae, telling her to be happy about the pregnancy.
Yeah.
Telling her to rejoice. Telling her to be excited. Telling her to trust God and to speak faith. Because I knew how important it was for her. I knew how important it was for the baby, the baby that was growing on the inside of her. And then I also knew, because I had been praying concerning the situation, God had shown me the baby being born. Now, that was another thing. I didn't say that to her because I think, and this is just a sideline for persons who where God speaks to them, or you have a prophetic gift, or you hear God. Sometimes when God shows you something and says something to you concerning an individual, it's not for you to tell them. It's because you need to pray concerning it.
Right.
It's not necessarily their business what God shows you concerning them. Sometimes God opens our eyes just so we can pray concerning that individual. Yes. Because that was the posture that I took with Joynae during the entire process. Like, in fact, she didn't tell me she was pregnant. I told her she was pregnant. The second time. I was like, you pregnant?
Because I wasn't telling she's nobody.
Like, and I never forget the look on her face. She's like,
how you know?
Like, now, this saying? Time around, when I said it, and it's so important too, like, when I said to her she was pregnant, God had already given me a vision and shown me her son alive in her hands.
Wow.
And I actually have never told her this. So this is the first time she's hearing this. She's never heard this. I actually had a vision of her with this, and it was a baby boy too, which was crazy. I saw the baby boy in her hands. She had him dressed in green, though, not blue. And
I think you were in green tonight.
And so the day that I said to her, I said, you pregnant? I'll say this. If I did not have the vision that I saw, I would have upset it. I would have waited for her to tell me. Because a lot of times we could be insensitive even when pregnancy comes again after miscarriage.
Yes.
We could be insensitive to how to speak to the mother,
yes,
to how to speak to the father.
Yes.
We could say things that could cause triggers and trauma to be, yes, resurrected that we trying to bury and, yes, let it stay dead.
Yes.
And so... I spoke boldly and confidently to her the way I did because I knew what the end was. Mm. And then also too, I was trying to And this is big. I was trying to sharpen my friend as a woman of God to say to her, no, speak faith. Speak faith. There's too much doubt and fear coming out of your mouth.
What I think I'm a difficult friend. Not like listening to you.
And that's not true.
Remembering.
That's not true. Here's what it is. Here's what it is.
I was terrible.
Here's what it is. My pastor says this all the time. There's no such thing as I have faith. It's I have faith for.
Mm.
Because the same attitude that she gave me in reference to her child is the same attitude I give her when she talked to me with my husband. The same stink.
Well, okay. Attitude. All right, we win.
Like the same. Okay, like, the other day, she just told me the other day she's going to do something. And I was like, I tell her, I love your mommy, but play with your mom. I love her.
But go play with her.
Don't play with me. Go play with Jerona. You know what? Go play with Daniel and G. Please. Don't play with me.
Please. Tricks off the kids.
Listen, and this ain't no situation with no play kid situation. No, oh, for God. Real. So I don't want to paint the picture that you are this bad person. But here's the thing, though. I think it's important for us to know as girlfriends, you need to know what your girl, if you truly say that this is your girlfriend, because this girl talk, this is what we're talking about.
Right.
If you say this is your girlfriend, you need to understand your girlfriend's weaknesses and vulnerabilities and be able to speak to it in a loving way. And sometimes a loving way means it's a loving rebuke. And you need to be able to receive that rebuke, but also be able to give that rebuke. Because as much as I can't stand the things that she say to me.
Honestly, it's all right.
It's necessary.
You'll be all right.
It's necessary. It's necessary. And as much as she can't stand me telling her that she's going to have another child and when she gets pregnant again, she's going to be rejoicing the entire time, she ain't even want to hear that.
It's the same foolishness. We ain't going for that today.
See, look. But
she was talking so good.
It's
you're talking good. I'm loving it. You're talking good.
Oh my gosh. But we all, and you know, and I just want to take a little, just like kind of just pull this chunk out here, because this is not just even about our conversation today about pregnancy and giving birth and being married and being a believer, but this has to do with the way we treat our girlfriends, period. Like, if you see that this is an area of weakness for your girlfriend and you truly love this person and you like truly, truly, truly want the best for them, you don't leave them in the place that they are in, no matter how much they fight you. If they cut you off and if they stop talking to you, eventually they can come back and start talking to you. Because she cut me off too. Stop talking to me. She stopped answering my messages. And I did not get feelings. I could not care. What? Because though,
Rodney Munger, I'm going into hiding. I'm hiding.
Because though, I will say this. Hiding, Marisha. And this is so important. This is so important too. My pastor talks about this all the time. There are girlfriends that you have, and then there's a difference between a girlfriend and a divine connection.
Mm.
And I always refer to Joyne as a divine connection. Always.
Wow.
Always, because there was no way that somebody could walk it. This girl just meet me just before the pandemic. Y'all be surprised if we just met just before the pandemic, because I feel like we've known ourselves like all of our lives.
Forever.
But we just met before the pandemic. No joke. And
look at God.
The way that God connected us was just, it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. And I'll say this on air. I know mommy ain't catch no feelings. Her mommy don't like everybody. Her mommy loves me.
You know something?
She don't like everybody.
What you gonna do?
And that's fine. She didn't have no problem with me saying
honestly,
it.
Honestly, for true.
She don't true. Honestly. Have no issue with me saying that.
Honestly.
Her mommy don't like everybody. Mm-hmm. But listen to me. Her mommy love her some me.
For true.
Some me.
For real.
And, That wasn't necessarily a big thing for me until I recognized the assignment that God gave me to Joyne and the assignment that God has given her for me, because there's a reason that she's in my life.
Wow.
And so just to kind of, this is the little chunk that I pulled out of this conversation in parentheses. Like, we cannot take our girlfriends for granted. We can't take them lightly. Yes. And even through disagreements and arguments and differences of opinion and loving rebukes and
loving rebukes,
and loving rebukes, you know, know that it's necessary. It's necessary. But yeah, like I was saying, I was intentional with her when when she got, especially when she got into her like her third month, I was like, listen, this baby is here to stay. I actually said that to her. I was like, this baby ain't going nowhere. I was like, so we got to start getting things. I was like, okay, so what would we buy in? Like, she's like, nothing.
Nothing.
I was like, Jesus Lord, this girl.
Nothing.
God. Oh, I was like, but we need stuff. I was like, so we're gonna have a shower? No, we're not having a shower. I was like, oh my God.
Oh yeah. I was bad. I was bad. Oh man.
When I tell you, like, this, like, I don't like, I don't even know what to, like, there was one day, like, I was on the phone with her, and I'd never forget it. I came up the phone with her and I had to scream after I came up the phone with her. Because if I didn't do that, I probably would have like punched a wall or something.
Because I ain't doing it.
She was just so what it was. And it's something that I can only say from my observation that I would imagine so many women go through that you are trying to avoid disappointment so much that you refuse to get your hopes up.
Yeah.
And that was the place that I saw her in. Like, she was absolutely adamant. I am not getting excited. No. Yeah. And she actually said that. She said, I'm not going to get excited
until I see him.
That's what you said.
That was my mentality. Okay, when I see him, then we can be hype and then we can have a good time. And then I want to stick a pin right there too. And maybe for me, maybe it's a baby. For you, maybe it's a marriage.
Wow.
Maybe it's a different situation.
Yes.
And we have to be so careful of our expectation. Like, you know, when you have a great expectation.
Come on, say this. You know
something, oh, this is going to happen. And by this time, I even remember a prophet and he came to me. He's like, by this time next year, you'll have a baby. And this time next year came and I still had no baby. I'm like, so what you dealing with? All of that killed the expectation. So it kind of gives God no room to move. You don't believe it. He that comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
I don't want to get into the word quite yet. You're jumping quite ahead.
I'm just saying.
You're going to preach tonight.
It's just saying. I just saying.
No, you're being real. Let's have some of these comments in here. Monique says, I can't imagine how you felt, Joynay, but I feel like it was more like you were a hurting woman more than just being mean-spirited. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Honestly, everyone didn't really get that. Only Marisha.
Yeah.
Marisha, my mommy, and my husband. Right. That's it. Everyone didn't get that.
This comment on Facebook is long, so I want to see if I could.
Oh, this is my good friend, Salisa.
Are you think Salisa watching on your page? Because if she watching your page, then I can't pull up the comment.
I am not sure.
Salisa, but let me start to read it. If you could tell us, Salisa, which page you're streaming the show on, so I can get the remainder of your comment, because I can't see the whole comment in the program that we're streaming with. After several miscarriages and years of trying, I got pregnant with my first baby boy, and I went 39 weeks. Jesus.
Wow.
And gave birth. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And 5 days later, he passed.
Wow.
I just want to say that again. After several miscarriages and years of trying, I got pregnant with my first baby boy. And I went 39 weeks, gave birth. And 5 days later, he passed.
Wow.
I didn't want any more kids after that. I went on birth control. And 8 months later, I went to church and got a prophecy that I was pregnant.
Wow.
I was in denial because I knew I was on birth control. However, I still went home and took a test. Seeing that positive test, because of what I went through, I was terrified.
Wow.
This is a heavy story.
Wow. I already feel a cry coming.
Yeah. Jesus. I was at a point where I was angry with God, if I may say. Absolutely. But I'm grateful for some of the people, capital S-O-M-E, some of the people around me that encouraged me. All in all, I'm grateful and thank God every day for my now 3-year-old.
Wow.
So Lisa, thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Wow. Wow.
Wow. Wow, Salisa. That is heavy.
Yeah.
I don't take that lightly.
I can't even say anything.
Yeah, I don't take that lightly. I want to tell you thank you, because you putting that out there is major, and someone is going to gain healing from that. Yeah. So thank you. Jorvette Ramming says, pregnancy after a loss is the most scariest thing a woman can go through. Just the thought of going through disappointment wears on the new pregnancy. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Xavier says, I'm actually scared to hear any more stories. It's scary, especially being high risk. Now, first of all, Xavier, you is my girl, so I rebuke the spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And the next thing is, you my girl, and so you covered. You straight. You straight. All is well. All is well. All is well. You will have a healthy pregnancy, a healthy baby. When you give birth, you will have minimal blood loss. You will not have gestational diabetes. You will not have hypertension in that pregnancy. And you will be healthy. Your child will be healthy. And we ain't going to need to cut or snip. And all that other stuff would be extra things would have happened. No.
And you'll be happy.
You will be happy. All is well. You're going to be good. And you might put on an extra couple of pounds while you're pregnant. All right. And all is well.
But that's all right.
All is well. You need some clothes, you can find my closet.
That's all right.
You know, Isaac, girl, I got you. And so I speak to your spirit, woman of God. He has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And all is well. All is well. Lord, please let this birth control continue to work.
Why you come on here praying like that? Why you on here praying like that?
Nah, Miss Priceless. Why?
She's serious about that.
I know she's serious.
She's serious about that.
I know she's serious. Oh, man. Anyway, woman of God, you'll be all right. You could be all right, Miss Priceless. But let this birth control
stretch your continue hands to work.
Oh, man. Yes. Money Francis says, all is well in the mighty name of Jesus. Yes, Savior. Yeah. Jehovah be praised. Yes. You can be all right. You can be good. All is well. I ain't going to talk your business on the radio, but you know what I said to you. So all is well. OG, the woman of God, see, she don't want no more kids.
Holy Ghost.
All right. Understood. So I kind of want to back up to what Salisa shared. Because that, I feel like it's one thing to have a miscarriage.
Yeah.
To not have held your baby.
Yeah.
It's another thing to lose your child in labor.
Yeah.
And to have not held that baby alive. Yeah. But now we're talking about a 5-day-old baby. Yeah. That dies. Listen to me. I sang at a funeral, Choine, for a similar situation as Elisa's. It was actually one of the ladies who works at the salon where I get my hair done.
Wow.
I never forget it. We were so excited about this baby that she was having. It was kind of like out of nowhere too. Like all of a sudden, she went from a flat belly to like this huge belly. Wow. Like it was like, oh my gosh, she's like pregnant. And I would never forget the look on her face when that tiny coffin went into the ground.
Wow.
It is ingrained in my memory. Wow. The agony, the anguish, it's almost like, I don't even know how I could paint the picture, but imagine like a desolate look on a woman's face.
Wow.
It was worse to me. It was worse than how a woman looks in labor pain.
Wow.
It seemed as if her entire world was going into the ground.
Wow.
I will never forget it. I will never forget that, because there was not a dry eye in that graveyard that day. I would never forget it. The sound that came out of her mouth, it wasn't loud, but it was a moaning of agony.
Wow.
And in my head, all I could say was, God, whatever happens, please don't let her lose her mind.
Wow.
And in my heart, I kept thinking, this is why parents are not supposed to bury their kids.
Yeah.
Kids are supposed to bury their parents. And I can't even imagine what you would have went through, Salisa. I can't. And to any other woman who is on this stream or listening to this podcast, this is not one of those situations where we could say we know how you feel.
Right.
No, absolutely we don't.
That's on a whole nother level.
That's next level.
That's a whole nother level.
All we can say to you is that you are strong. You are amazing. And to still have your sound mind.
Yes.
And be good. Yes. And still be nice to people. And walking around and functioning in life.
Day to day.
After that, you are some kind of superwoman. And we celebrate you today, Salisa, and every other woman.
Honestly.
Who has given birth to a baby full term and lost the baby, who's had a miscarriage, who's had more than one miscarriage, who has been trying to have a child. Listen, we salute you today. Strong, amazing.
There was actually a
woman.
Sorry to cut you off. There's a lady at my church, and she started, we had like a women's meeting, and she began to share her experience. And she said, and I can't remember all the details, but she just basically said, you know, she had a baby, took a baby home, and her baby died in her arms.
What?
She fed her. We didn't want to quote her incorrectly. She held her, she fed her, and maybe seconds later, baby just died in her arms. And the police actually assumed that she killed her baby.
Whoa.
And that,
whoa,
that messed me up. That messed me all the way up, because I'm, first of all, having a child is difficult.
Yes.
Right? Fine. Then taking care of a child is difficult. Right? And then your baby dies in your arms. And then the first thing they do is accuse you.
Yeah.
And she even admitted, she said, I was held because they thought that I raped her and killed her.
That she raped her?
That she raped her baby.
The infant?
This is the story that she's, I couldn't believe it either. This is the story that she's telling. She's telling open forum. Listen, this is what happened. And they assumed this, and she was held until they got the autopsy.
Now, I will say this. Not that it's right, but the police have to do their job. Yes. So I do understand that if she might have shown some symptoms of postpartum depression,
right,
that they do have to question her in reference to that.
Right.
But to suggest that she would have fondled a baby?
But Marisha, to be honest, that happens.
Oh my God.
That happens. And I'm speaking from the perspective of her knowing that her baby is dead and then being accused of doing something that she didn't.
Jesus.
All of that pain jammed together. And she said for a minute, she said, I still think about it. I think she has children or a child. And she couldn't formulate words to even finish the rest of the story. And when, see, this kind of topic, I think that we don't talk enough about.
Yeah.
Amongst like girlfriends and et cetera, because we feel like, you know, we don't want to expose ourselves on that level, especially.
Because it requires a level of vulnerability.
Right. And the fact that she was able to say that out of her mouth, it took me mostly a couple well months to say the words miscarried. Like other than in the doctor's office, et cetera. And
interesting. Yeah.
Just to formulate words, or like Salisa, to saying all of, ma'am, you're a different kind of woman. different kind of woman.
She says it's not easy. I struggled mentally for a while, yes. But God, and I would imagine so.
It's really the mind. And I think, like, I know I can't compare to someone who went through it,
mm-hmm.
but I think that was my whole thought my entire pregnancy. I don't want to go through all of this and then still end up, you know, like, because Salisa is saying that, and I'm thinking about everything. I'm thinking about all of the Pampers.
Jeez.
I'm thinking about
all the stuff you buy.
I'm thinking about the baby shower. I'm thinking about the people who don't know what happened in the hospital and waiting for the bitches. I'm thinking about all of that.
And how you have to explain that to every person.
And each time, ripping the band-aid.
Yes. Yes. Opening the wound.
Oh, man.
How do you heal?
How? My mom actually went through something very similar. She had a child between me and my sister,
mm-hmm.
a boy. And there was this was the doctor's fault. I think they handled him. It was something was too rough for
mm-hmm.
something like that. And something went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she couldn't even walk in the room, in the baby room. Because when you go to the hospital, you have the preparation.
Yeah, you have everything in place.
Right, you know, and
yeah. Wow.
That's what I'm thinking about.
I think is, how do you pronounce his name? Makalda, I think. I hope I pronounced that right. Don't forget those who have had ectopic pregnancies and also lost a fallopian tube. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know someone like that as well.
Wow. Monique says, Jesus makes you smile again. You are a stronger.
Stronger woman.
Yeah. I agree.
Stronger.
one of the reasons we wanted to do this show, and this was really Joyne's baby. I want to make sure that y'all know that. Of course, I'm definitely I'm ready. I'm always ready to do whatever she wants to do. But this was really on her heart because of what she experienced. And the reason that I was absolutely, is not only because of the women that God has me praying for in reference to this, in this regard. And I hope those of you, when you hear me say that, you don't hear me say that from a place of pride, because it's not a private place. It's an assignment that he's given me, and it is what it is. And I'm just grateful that prayers have been answered in the most miraculous of ways. And I honor God for that. To speak to the women who have been through the loss, who are struggling with the loss still, who may be currently going through the process of losing, but also to those women who have not even conceived. This show, we did this show for you. I don't know what you feel. I don't know what it feels like to be married and not being able to conceive, but I do know the word of God. I do know the word of God. And that's why I can say what I have to say, and then Joyne will probably give you exactly what you need to go straight through this. But I will say this. Oh, Jesus. I'll say this. One of the things that baffles me as a human being is the first thing, this thing. I don't know how people do life without God. That's the first thing. Because when something, when the stuff hit the fan and shove come to fall down, or however you say it, and fall down come to pick up, or whatever. However you say it, push come to shove, shove come to fall down, and fall down come to get up, whatever. However it goes.
However,
I honestly kid you not. We try not to make sure that the show is all spiritually deep all the time, but here is the reality of who we are as women, just women. I don't know how you make it without Jesus.
How?
I don't know what you do without God. I don't understand. Now, if you want to come on the show and try to tell us how you make it without God, honestly, I want to hear it. I really do. And I'm not being insulting, and that's not a game. I'm being serious. If you are an atheist female and you want to tell us how you used to life without God, listen, we welcome you. Come, let's talk. Let's chat. Mm-hmm. For real, straight up. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying this because at the beginning and at the end of the day, the Alpha and the Omega, the only thing that we have to hold on to is what God has said.
Only thing.
That's the only thing, babe. The only thing. At the end of the day, yesterday, listen to me, Johnny. I cried. Jesus. I cried my makeup off. 9 times yesterday.
Wow.
9 times. Like, just absolutely just a mess. I was a mess yesterday. Had to do ministry in the midst of it too. And when I came to myself last night when I was in my bed, the only thing that brought me to myself was the truth of God's word.
Wow.
That was the thing that got me to the place where I was like, okay, stop crying.
Wow.
You could be all right. This is what God has said concerning you. And if he can do this, and if this is happening in your life,
do all things,
then he can do anything. And I want to say to the wives out there, who you're doing this thing right, you're with your husband, and you have not conceived, or you have conceived and you have miscarried. The Bible does not suggest this. The Bible does not say this could happen. The Bible doesn't even give this as an instruction. The Bible describes this as a state of being. The Bible says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. It's not an action. It does not require you to change anything about yourself. Right. It does not require for you to get on your knees and dig in the ground and bury this thing like some of these voodoo and obey workers is be telling you to do and do all of this foolish. No. He says, be fruitful. What that means is that we already have within us the ability to be fruitful. He's telling you, be who I've created you to be. I've created you to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth, to have dominion over it, and to subdue it. Point blank, period. Point blank, period. That's the place that I start and the place that I rest as a single woman who is interceding on behalf of my girlfriends out there who are doing this thing right, and you believe in God. You doing it right. You are in covenant.
I have a question, Marisha, mm-hmm. before you continue.
Mm-hmm.
What can we say to the person who's doing it right? And maybe you have a husband that doesn't want to wait, and he goes outside of the marriage and has a baby. Can you speak on that a bit?
Why are you in charge of me?
I mean, I'm just saying.
You the married woman.
I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I just want to hear your thoughts on that.
Wow. That's a touchy situation because now you're not only dealing with the fact that there's lack of conception, you're talking about now infidelity in your marriage. And that's a complicated situation because the way you describe the situation and then listening to you talk about even what Daniel said to you, you're talking about a hurting husband who wants to be a father. And so all adultery is not created equal.
Mm.
And to analyze the situation based upon what you've said, like, it's not so cut and dry. It's not so black and white. Mm, this is a man who has this desire as well.
Right.
And I think a lot of times as women, we can downplay that.
Yeah.
We can down.
And that was my point.
We can downplay the need for this man to be the father that he has been created to be.
But then is it, okay.
Well, that doesn't warrant the adultery, but.
But is it really a downplay if it's just, I don't want to say something wrong with the female, but is it just a?
It could be something wrong with him too, though. Let's make sure we put that out there. All things being equal,
but obviously it ain't nothing wrong with him if he already stepped out.
Well, this is true. Okay. This is true. I'm not gonna say it's right.
No, it's not right.
It's not right. However,
I'm just thinking about the mental state of that woman.
Of that woman.
Yeah.
All I can say to her is, like, first of all, you got to know what the word is over your marriage. That's the first thing. Mm. There has to be a reason that y'all came together. And if you can't find that purpose from God to say as to why y'all came together, then, you know, you got to figure some stuff out.
Right.
That's the first thing. But then the second thing that I would say, if you know the reason that you've come together, you know that there's a purpose why the two of you have become one, then a part of your consideration and reference to your husband in this matter has to be that he's hurting too. That has to be a part of the conversation. Yeah. That has to be a part of your thought processes. And as women, we can't be selfish in this journey. Yeah. We have to understand that men have feelings too. And these men in our lives, they love us because they're going through these experiences as we go through it.
Every emotion, everything.
And it's not just us, because it's happening in our physical bodies. Right. Right. In fact, I believe that the pain for them is greater because they wish they could take the pain away from their wives and from their girlfriends or fiancés or whatever. And they can't. And so they're bearing the pain of watching you have to go through that pain. And then they have their own grief and loss and devastation and anguish and anger and sadness and overwhelmed feelings that they're dealing with as well.
And they can't show them.
And they can't, because they're trying to be strong for us as women.
Right.
And so I think too, even in our going through, our grieving, our confusion, our everything, all the emotions that we're feeling, we have to make space for the men in our lives to be vulnerable as well.
Yes.
There has to be a point in time where your husband could lay his head on your lap and cry tears and release, knowing that in that moment you can be strong for him even while you're going through.
Yeah.
And I know that might seem like we're asking for too much, but for some of us,
but that's your husband.
Like, we used to be strong for everybody else, though.
Yeah, that's true.
We like to be strong for our girlfriends and our aunties and our mommy and daddy and everybody else, but you want your husband to be this rock that never that never ever needs something to lean on or somebody. No, man. We have to make sure as women that we consider this. So in the case of that woman, it's not right. However, there is a consideration that needs to be taken, and that is he's hurting too. He's hurting too. And this is probably a completely different show for probably for somebody else to do, like some man talk or something, whatever. I don't know. But
okay, that would be good.
Yeah, I think that men should talk more about what they're going through when their wives are going through situations like this, because this is a complicated going through for them, because the way that they make things right with their wife is to become intimate.
Yeah.
And now if you're going through the process of miscarriage or if you're trying to conceive and it's not happening, we're now having an effect on the thing that the man uses to connect with his wife. That establishes the greatest form of agreement in the earth that marriage really is. And that's why it's so important to see that, like, the lack of conception, miscarriage, a dead child, you have to see that as a plan of the enemy. And I know y'all gonna say I being super spiritual or super deep, but if we understand that the greatest form of agreement in the earth is that of a husband and wife, then you would understand that it's the plan of the enemy to separate them in any way, by any means necessary.
Yes.
He will do whatever it takes to ensure that that man and woman who once agreed no longer agree.
Yeah.
He doesn't care how he creates the separation. His goal is just separation. No.
Yeah. That's you.
They can't agree. You see, because it's one thing for me and Joy and Nate to agree on something.
That's right.
We don't sit under the same roof.
Whew. Wow.
My God. We don't sit under the same roof. But if a man and a woman who share a bed, share money, share a house,
everything,
share everything, decide to touch and agree on something,
that's right,
in the earth, and they make up in their minds that they will not relent until that thing manifests, that agreement is unbreakable.
Yes.
It is unbreakable. And it is the plan of the enemy to cause that agreement not to happen. You better talk, because I can shout them.
You got the shout. You are absolutely on it. And I think that when we realize what the power that we have as a unit, We are more strategic.
Militant.
We are more strategic in the way we handle things, and we don't take everything as light. And it's heavy. It's heavy.
Mm.
It's heavy.
I think because we forget sometimes, because when these situations happen, it eradicates our faith. We can't.
Yeah,
we can't play with that. It causes erosion to take place. Yeah. We start to doubt. Fear starts to magnify itself. Unbelief starts to become louder than the truth, and it starts to erect these strongholds in our lives that gives access to the enemy. And so we can't play with it. We can't pretend as though it doesn't cause a questioning in our minds. Yeah. Can this? Will it? Listen. I don't know how you feel. No, I don't. I, a single woman, I talking to you, and I'm saying to you, God's word is true. He has not lied. He never did lie. He cannot lie. It's impossible for him to tell a lie.
That's right.
And if he said that when a man and woman come together, that they're supposed to be fruitful and multiply, then that's it.
That's it.
Forever, oh Lord, your word is settled in heaven.
Forever.
As it is in heaven, we pray. We are told to pray every day. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yes. That's it right there. That is it.
That's right.
Right there. And I, listen to me, I am jealous of my friend Joynay and all my married friends, because they have somebody to come into agreement with them when they need to like trample on Satan. That I just got to be, it's just be me and the Holy Ghost. Me and the Holy Ghost in my room, in my car, my office.
My God.
Like, Jesus, you and Holy Ghost, you got to back me up. Because.
I out here.
I out here. I just say it. You know? And so I envy it for real. Because even my girlfriends whose husbands aren't saved, I envy them. Let me tell you why I envy them. Because the saved wife sanctifies her husband, y'all.
Mm.
And God word, it don't lie.
It don't lie.
It don't lie. And you might say to me, well, no, they still unequally. Listen to me. The saved wife sanctifies her husband. I'm telling you.
It's the T on the husband for me. Husband.
Mm. Sanctifies. Her husband. I know somebody's watching now, and she could tell you the story about dealing with a husband when he wasn't saved and now her husband is saved. Wow. I'm telling you. That's why I envy it too, because I feel like there's even greater victory.
Yes.
To be seen and encountered when you have a spouse who isn't saved and that person then becomes a believer, and then y'all two decide to, Jesus, y'all agree? Now y'all agree? My God, the devil's scared.
Scared.
Bad. But I say this because the persons who are married, like us when we single, because y'all say we single and we don't understand the freedom that we have. And you're right. We become familiar. We all become familiar with our constant situations. So I say to the married people, listen, that agreement that you have in marriage, that covenant that you have, when you come together intimately, when you come together to agree on something, when you bring whatever you bring together is supposed to produce multiplication, no matter what. You bring dollar, I bring dollar, we got $2.
Quick math.
We give that to Jesus, we got $20. You understand what I'm saying? Or 200. Or if you got that 1,000-fold anointing with Tipnova Life Worship Center, you got $2,000.
Do it, Lord.
So I'm saying that to say to my married girlfriends out there, don't underestimate and don't get too familiar with the power of agreement that you have in your marriage. Mm. Don't do that.
Wow.
And I know you're saying, who the single girl thinks she's talking to? The individual who is not familiar with your situation that has an objective view. Mm. And is saying to my girlfriends, I'm trying to help you out here, girlfriend. Don't get familiar in your marriage that you forget how powerful the agreement is between you and that man of God that God has given you, whether he's a man of God yet or not. He will be. He will be. And the fact that you have not conceived as yet is a sign, I believe, is an indicator. My pastor talks about this all the time, Joynay. Positive and negative indicators. It's all about how you look at it. Mm. It's all about perspective. You can look at the delay.
Yes, I think I heard this before.
You can look at the delay that you are experiencing right now, or what may seem to be a denial, mm-hmm. and you could take it as either something to open the door into depression, or you could see it as the enemy's last stand before the breakthrough comes through. Yes. It's all according to your perspective. You could either be a pessimist or an optimist. You could either have faith or you can doubt. You can sit in unbelief or you can be a believing believer. You got the choice. It's all on you.
And it's one decision.
Up to you. It's one decision.
One decision. One thought.
For us to make up our minds to just believe God. I know that there are lots of medical miracles out there. People doing all kinds of things. Yes. There are doctors doing amazing things when it comes to conception and women who are struggling with getting pregnant. And listen, I know that there are answers out there in the medical world. But here's what I also do know. I also know that the God we serve is the great physician.
Yes.
Is the great physician. And something else my pastor said last night in Bible study that like slapped me in my face. He said, and I can say this on the radio, and I hope people listening don't be offended, and persons who are listening to the podcast are not offended and tuning online. But he said this. He said, God said to him that the doctors are for the world, but the great physician is for believers.
Wow.
So as a believer, you should go to God before you go to the world.
Mm. Wow.
And that was heavy. When he said, I was like, oh.
Okay.
Because he said, we're supposed to be the solution to the world.
Right. And if we.
And if we go into the world for the solution.
Right.
Then the salt has lost its savor.
Yeah.
Wherewith can the earth be salted?
Yeah.
I just throwing that out there as a little.
That's a lot.
That's heavy. Let's get some comments in because we almost and then I can let you Shando to end it.
Shando. You already Shando Fala.
Shando Fala. Oh my gosh. Denison says, hey Danny, how are you? She says that secondary infertility is also a struggle that those who don't feel assume that ones who face it don't have feelings. That's true. You conceive and then you can't conceive afterwards. Yeah. Then there are others who are nosy, feel they should question about why there are not more children. Mm. That's powerful.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I know somebody who they have a child. Their second pregnancy nearly took their life and they never had any more children after that. Yeah. So in that case, we as women have to remember that he is hurting too. We cannot shut the husband's boyfriends out. Yeah, absolutely. We have to remember that. We have to. Oh, y'all was shouting here with me. I didn't even see that.
It's a shout.
My gosh. Oh my goodness gracious. So woman of God, close this off.
Close, man. You already got me tight in this chair.
try to hold your mule.
I try to hold it. Hold it. Honestly, I just want to just share some light on the situation. And I want you to know that it's okay to talk about it. I can say all of the deep things. I can give you all the deep scriptures. Mm-hmm. I can talk about my experience, but nothing is like yours. Nothing is like yours. And your experience matters. Mm-hmm. And in one way, shape, or form, you are sharpening someone else.
Sorry, hold on. I got to pause you because I got a word. I got to receive that.
Stretch your hands. What? Gone in quick.
Sorry for the people on podcast and radio.
Do it, Lord.
Read it. Because I have to
God
receive it.
God will bless
it.
You with your priest and we seal it.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Okay, sorry. That was a very selfish moment.
That person is on it, though. Anyway,
that's my girl Xavier, man. That's my
See?
Girl. She got my back.
Xavier, she don't give you a hard time.
No, I don't.
She's giving me a hard time.
Yeah, but
see, we ain't talking about it.
We're not talking. See, people touching and agreeing now.
See?
Iris,
look out. Tell her be nice to me when I talking about it.
Yeah, because no, you speak disgusting. Anyway, finish talking to the to
right.
The
So we just want you. I have nothing deep to say. I have nothing. I can say a million things. I think it's just really about being honest, saying that it hurts, saying where it hurts, saying
wow, that's good,
just saying what's on your mind. And I promise you, every time I think I want to say something dumb, I'll be like, Marisha, honestly, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I mean, tell me what you think about this. Let me hear your perspective. It is okay to talk about it.
Yeah.
And if you need to find that space, like we mentioned earlier, sometimes I don't have all the solutions for Marisha's problems.
No.
And she doesn't have all the solutions for mine. But one thing we do have that is consistent is listening ears.
Yes.
You can go in a room, listen. I don't need you to tell me anything. I just need you to listen. Just listen. On the flip side, God can do it. God can do anything.
Ah, anything but fail.
But fail.
Jesus.
His word will not return unto him void.
Yes.
It will not.
It cannot.
It cannot. And to that lady, to that woman, it says at this point, like Sarah, we 90-something years old, God, and you ain't do this thing yet. Even if God decides not to do it, he is still good.
Yes,
he is. And you are still a blessed woman. That's something that we have to take into consideration. Maybe some persons aren't as fortunate after 6 years, after 5 years, after 10 years. Mm-hmm. Some persons have literally given up hope. God can do anything. And even if he doesn't, he is still God.
Glory to God.
That's it. That's my 5 cents.
Glory to God. I think this is a good idea for us to close, Xavier. So for sure, let's do it. I definitely agree.
Okay.
That we will close by praying.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Written it off?
I guess so. Because you sound like you don't want to do it.
No, I could do it. I do it after you.
Okay, good. There is healing and sharing because our stories are lessons for others. Never be afraid and don't be afraid. Trust God. Glory to God. Thank you both for sharing today. Some of us may not have miscarried in the physical realm. My God. My God, Yolandi. But God is faithful. That's heavy right there.
Yeah.
You said something right there, woman of God.
Yeah.
You just said something right there.
That's heavy. And that's a whole nother perspective of the topic.
Yes.
Save, married, and barren.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. It's a whole other.
I thought about it earlier, but I forgot. That's so good.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole, like.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a whole new can of worms.
Oh, Jesus. There are some things that have died.
Yes.
And if we tell the truth, spiritual sepsis is taking place. And we're being contaminated by that death, and our faith is being eroded. My God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. God, we honor you. You are good. You are good. You are faithful. Thank you, Father, that you not only hear us when we pray, but you promise in your word that you, God, would grant us the petition as long as it's according to your truth, according to your word. Thank you, Father, that you've given us more than one word that we could declare concerning the women that are under the sound of our voice today, Father. Thank you that we can speak the truth, that we have the ability to be fruitful and to multiply. Thank you that that is our portion. Thank you, Father, that the barren woman has been told to sing because she has more children than that of the woman. Glory to God who has the ability to have children. There's so many truths in your word, God, that we can speak today, Father. But what we do, God, is we lift up our broken, our hurting sisters to you today, God, and their spouses, Father, and their significant others, those men and women out there, God, who are hurting, those women, God, who have lost babies, whether by miscarriage or lost an actual physical living, breathing child or had to give birth to a stillborn or had an ectopic pregnancy or all these different ways that we've been hurting and broken, even to the woman who's been told that she cannot have a child, that she cannot conceive. Father, today, we speak life over every single one of them in the mighty name of Jesus. We speak to their minds first of all, and we declare to you, woman of God, that you will not lose your mind. We declare that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And we declare that the power of God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, quickens your mortal body even now. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that Jesus didn't have to speak to himself to resurrect. We give you glory, God. But he just got up because of the resurrection power on the inside of him. And we thank you, God, that that is the same power that resides on the inside of us as your children. So we thank you for that woman who's now coming to the realization that she has resurrection power on the inside of her, which means that nothing connected to her or nothing that is conceived in her womb is allowed to die in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that your love covers, shields, and protects, not only from the things that we do, Father, but also from the hand of the enemy. Thank you, God, that you promised that we would have a sound mind. And so we release that over the woman who has even given birth and feels like she's dealing with postpartum depression. She feels like she's losing her mind. She feels like one minute she loves a child and the next minute she doesn't, Father. We speak a sound mind over that woman today in the mighty name of Jesus. And we call forth now the mighty woman of God that you have called every single one of these women to be. And I speak again. I keep hearing that again. There's a woman listening to this. You're dealing with postpartum depression. We curse the plan of the enemy concerning you now in the mighty name of Jesus to cause you to lose your mind, to cause you to kill your child. We curse that. We revoke access to the spirit of death over your life in the mighty name of Jesus. We declare that that child shall live and not die. And we declare that you will not lose your mind in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you now, God, for those women who have yet to conceive. Thank you, God, that conception will take place. Thank you, Father, that after conception takes place, Father, we thank you that that child will mature and grow in the womb in a healthy way. I thank you for a healthy environment in the wombs of these wives and women who are listening now. I thank you, God, that the placenta is in the right place. Glory to your name, Jesus. I thank you, Father, that the womb is positioned correctly. I speak to wombs that are not positioned. We speak to wombs that are not positioned correctly now, and we command a miracle to take place and wombs to be repositioned now in the mighty name of Jesus. Fallopian tubes to be repositioned now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we command now regulation of cycles in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, that the egg falls in at the right place and at the right time. I thank you, Father. Glory to your name, Jesus. Thank you, God, for repairing, God, uteruses, God. Glory, God. Yes, God, for healing now. Father, healing reproductive systems. Yes, God. We curse fibroids in the name of Jesus, the enemy of conception. We curse you, for you are not of God. You are not of God. And you only could be of Satan because nobody knows your source. Nobody can predict where you come from. There's no way we can detect why you form in a woman's body. So we curse you. Spirit of infirmity, called fibroids, and we send you back to the pits of hell in the mighty name of Jesus. And we declare that if there's a woman listening to this and she has fibroids in her body, we command those fibroids to shrink and to dry up and to never return in the mighty name of Jesus. We curse the gathering of masses and fluid in incorrect places in the mighty name of Jesus. And we command regular blood flow. We command now regulation of cycles. We command the balancing of hormones over that woman and to that man. We speak to the seed that he provides and we declare that it is fruitful in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, God, that you hear us when we pray. Again, we speak to the spirit of fear. We curse you when we send you back to the pits of hell. We revoke your access to this woman. To this woman of God, even to the man of God, we revoke your access. Your access has been revoked. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare it to be so in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, Father God, we thank you and we praise you, God. Glory, we thank you name, and we lift up your name, God. We thank you now that we are praying for the barren woman, both naturally and spiritually. God, we thank you that it is her time to conceive and to bring forth. God, we break every assignment of the enemy, God, that wants to make the womb barren, both naturally and spiritually. And we call those things as be not as though they were. We decree and we declare, God, life. We decree and we declare, God, fruitfulness, God. We decree decree and we declare, God, that though the weapon will try to form, it will not prosper. Yes. God, we speak now to the hurting woman, to that which has conceived and it died. God, we thank you for as your word declared, Lord God, we thank you that it's now written and settled in heavenly places. God, we thank you that every plan, every assignment of the enemy is null and void. God, we speak to the barren woman, and we call forth life and life more abundantly. God, we break every satanic attack, Lord God, that have come against the married woman, Lord God. We come against it now in Jesus' name, and we call forth and we loose the spirit of life, God. We loose the spirit of power, God. We come now to break every high imagination, everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, and we bring each thought into captivity and into the obedience of Christ. God, we thank you that every spirit of fear is now eradicated. We thank you, Lord God, we will not walk in a place of fear. God, I speak now to the pregnant woman, and I say that you will bring forth a healthy, bouncing baby, whether it's a boy or girl or twins or triplets. Now we speak to the womb in Jesus' name. We speak now to the doctors. We go into the bloodstream, God, and we regulate it by your power in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for doors are opening now for these women. God, you will provide, God, even to the woman that can't feed her child. God, we decree and we declare that you will provide, God. You'll provide according to your riches in glory. God, we thank you now that every plan of the enemy is broken. Every plan of Satan that wants the woman to hurt, every trauma of miscarriage and infertility, we break it in Jesus' name. And we call for wholeness. We call for peace. We call for the spirit of joy. I speak now to the pregnant woman, and I say that you will be happy. You will bring forth. You will celebrate. God, your word declares that when you turn the captivity of Zion, it was like them that dream. God, we thank you that you are turning our weeping into worship. You are turning our pressure into praise, even our miscarriages, God. You said that all things will work together for the good. God, we thank you that you are working it now. All things are working together. So, Father, we speak now and we call for peace in the midst of the storm. We call for peace and happiness to the mind and to the body of that woman. God, we even speak now to husbands that they will be strengthened to carry their wives and even to girlfriends. They'll be strengthened. They'll speak to their girlfriends and they will be strengthened, God. Glory to God. I thank you and I praise you, God, because it is done. In Jesus' name. You said, whatsoever we bind shall be bound, and whatsoever we loose, it shall be loose. So we loose the spirit of fertility.
Yes, fruitfulness.
And we bind infertility.
Yes, God.
And God, we thank you that it is done. We thank you that your word will not return unto you void. We thank you that he that has begun a good work, he is faithful to perform it. God, you started this work on the inside of your children, and you are faithful to perform it. God, I thank you now that this is the hour of the Esthers.
Yes,
this is the hour of the Deborahs, and they are rising now.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
And they will bring forth the hour of the Hannahs and of the Sarahs.
Yes, Lord.
God, you will open doors. You will open wombs as it is in the natural, so it is in the spirit. God, I thank you and I praise you that Hannahs are now rising up. Our petitions are now being granted in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
And God, that which we have given birth to, it will bless the nations.
Glory to God.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. I pray, my God, I pray you, Satande. I pray that you receive. I pray that you receive. I pray that you receive. Yes, I pray that you receive. I don't know if the woman is listening now, if she's tuned in now, or if she's going to be listening later, but I hear a woman saying, now, what do I do after you've prayed this prayer? Your response is, I receive. I come into agreement.
In Jesus' name.
I receive. I receive. I receive. That's your response. I receive, because it is your portion. Every word that was released today in prayer, everything that was said, it is your portion. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We over time, y'all. We got to go. We got to get out of here. It has been an amazing show. I don't even have words. I don't even have words for what it is that took place here in church on today.
On tonight.
But I just honor the Lord for his faithfulness, man. He's just such a faithful God. And I believe God for my girlfriends. That's we believe God for you. We believe God for you. I'm trying to get out of here. And we got to. But we give God all glory. All glory. All right. We got to do our little formalities to end the show. And it's hard to do it.
It's hard. It's hard because you will conceive.
Yes. You will.
It may not look like it now, but you will. You may not feel like it now, but you will.
You will.
You will.
You will. It's you going will. To happen. It is going
and
to
And you're
going
to live to see it happen. You will not just give birth. You won't die in it.
Glory
You will
God.
Not
That's
die
it.
In it. You will
That's
live.
It. That's it.
You will live to see it.
And your child will live.
In Jesus' name.
Your child will live. While we know that God gives us strength to deal with situations and circumstances, we're not going to deal with any dead babies.
In Jesus' name.
That's not our lot. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
name. And we declare it to be so. In the mighty name.
And it is so.
Of Jesus. Glory to God. I got some messages to my phone, and I just want you to know, women of God, that I see your messages.
Wow.
And God is going to do it for you. And we believe God for you. We believe God for you. Okay, we got to go. We got to get out of here.
We love y'all, God.
We love y'all. Listen, y'all, next week.
Oh.
Next week. Next week. Jesus. Next week, this going to be a heavy room. This room going to be heavy. Y'all ready for that?
I don't know what I mean.
This room is going to be heavy. Next week.
You got to.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen.
You got to.
It's not just going to be me and Joyne and Tara, but the amazing, the wonderful, the incomparable Kara T. I'm so happy that she's not only going to be on the show, but she's going to be in the room.
Yes.
She's going to be in the room next week, Thursday, and we're going to be talking about addiction. We got to talk about it. We got to address it. Heavier than today, Roseanne. Yes. It's going to be heavier.
Faith to faith. Glory to glory.
We're going from glory to glory. So, no, next week is going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. Come, be prepared to laugh, but be prepared to be delivered.
Yeah.
That's what I heard concerning this show. The deliverance is going to take place. And it's not going to look like what you used to deliverance looking like. And so if you have an inkling of somebody who you know got a little thing with this dude that they need to be free from, just share that a link and just tell them, just watch the show. Don't tell them why. Just tell them, watch the show. And then you tune in too. And listen, when we post this flyer today, y'all share it. All right. So that's what's coming up next week on Girl Talk. And then on the 16th, we're going to be talking about gossiping.
Gossip Girl.
That's going to be a hot show too. Ooh. I'm excited for it. It's going to be amazing and hot because y'all like talk. We like talk.
We like talk.
Oh my gosh. And then we can talk about this whole suicide situation on the 23rd.
Yes.
That's what's coming up on June 23rd. And on June 30th, we're going to talk about confidence versus pride.
Ooh, we got some women.
These shows coming up.
These would be crazy.
Oh, I hope y'all ready. Y'all ready for this?
I'm looking forward to it. She ain't want to go.
Listen, y'all, Johnny, I got to go to church. It's been amazing. It's been one. I got a meeting too. So it ain't just you. I got
to
go too.
To the meeting.
But
this person said, Roseanne said, I'm sorry, Roseanne said, who picking this talking?
Who? My God, who?
It could be crazy.
It could be good. But listen, for all of you who tuned in, all of you who are listening now on our podcast, we say like we do every week, listen, get you some good girlfriends. If today's show didn't show you,
you need it.
You need to get you some good girlfriends, man.
You need it.
In this case, we're talking about today. You need that friend who could tell you, boo, you're pregnant. Celebrate this baby. You need that girlfriend who's going to sit in the room when you've lost.
Yeah.
You need that girlfriend who's going to encourage you to try again. Go have fun with your husband. Swing from the chandelier.
Because you have license for it. You got papers to do that. And to celebrate the little things.
Yeah.
But to also not forget that there's a great power of agreement that you and your husband have. You need that girlfriend in your life to be the shoulder that you can lean on, but to also be the shoulder that you can cry on. And we say it every week. Don't forget to be her too.
Yeah.
Don't just need that girlfriend, but be that girlfriend who can be the support, who can be the iron that sharpens iron, and who can speak life into what they say it.
I do that today.
I can put you on blast like
you
that.
Need a strong
but I mean,
one.
You don't put yourself on blast.
You need
if
a
you
strong
say she can break the chandelier.
You need a strong one, woman of God. Strong.
On that note, because Xavier breaking chandeliers, y'all, we gone. Because if she can break the chandelier, I must think can break the roof.
I know. We can need reinforcement.
We can need a steel roof in Jesus' name.
Reinforcement.
Y'all do like talk fool.
Have
Listen, it's been an amazing show. We gone. We love y'all. Bye.